1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, that's where we're going to start tonight. And we're going to read verses 9 to 13. Verses 9 to 13. And would you read those with me? We'll read verses 9 to 13. They're great verses. Like all the verses in the Bible, they're great. But they have some appropriate meaning for us tonight as we study. So we're in 1 John chapter 5. We're going to start with verse number 9. Let's read down to verse 13 together. Let's begin. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. We're talking tonight, we're continuing the gifts of God. What is your ministry? Well, we're finding out, first of all, we're considering the gifts that God gives to mankind, specific gifts that Scripture talks about. And we looked last week at the gift of God's written word, and we'll start tonight with the gift of God's Son. Would you bow with me? I'll pray and ask God to help us as we consider him tonight. Lord, thank you for the Lord Jesus, Father. Thank you for the gift that he is, Lord, and help us to grasp that tonight. Though we may have heard it, maybe even shared it with somebody, Lord, but give us some special meaning this evening for us as perhaps we consider who we are in Jesus, who others can be if we reach out to them. We pray, God, for your help even now, that you might get the glory through all things said and done. We'll ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're looking at the gift of God's Son, the gift of God's Son. I do have some verses here, if we could have some help with them. Who would read John chapter 5, Gospel of John 5:39? All right, Isaac, thank you, sir. Then we have John 5:24, same chapter, verse 24. Daryl's got that, thank you, sir. By the way, did you know there were three Daryls in the room this afternoon? Yep. Judy's brother-in-law and their son, also named Daryl. Interesting. I don't know if I have ever been in a room with three Daryls before, so that was a blessing. John chapter 1, verse number 12. Who would take John 1, 12? How about Mrs. Kleehammer? Judy. Judy, yes, thank you. Glad you're feeling up to being with us tonight. Let's see. Kim, I saw your hand. How about Luke chapter 1, verses 30 to 33? If you would read that for us. Luke chapter 1, 30 to 33. Galatians 6, verse 7, verse 8. So there's two verses there. Who would read Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8? Sister Carolyn's going to read that. Thank you. Then we have Mark 10, 45. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Vicki's got that. Thank you. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, verse 6. 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6. Who would take those two verses? All right, Bob, thank you. Then we have Romans 4, last one to give out here. Romans 4, verses 23 to 25. Romans 4, 23 to 25. Three verses there. Thank you, Abigail. I really appreciate that. All right. We'll all read together some of the others here. Let's hear, though, from John chapter 5, verse 39.
Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me.
Okay, thank you. We're talking about the gift of God's Son. First of all, first thought here, he is found inside the Scriptures. He is found inside the Scriptures. And in chapter 5 of 1 John, it tells us the same thing. Take a look again if you're still there in 1 John 5, verse 11 and 12. This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Where is the record? What record is he talking about? You know, by the time these letters, 1 John, 2 John, etc., are written, some of the New Testament Gospels would have been completed as well, not the Gospel of John, but some of them, and letters that are now being circulated. But not only that, what would be the major scripture that he would probably be looking at as well? What did they have before they had the New Testament? The Old Testament, yeah. So he's saying, you know, we've learned about who the Son is, who God's Son is, and his gift of him for thousands of years through the Word of God in the Old Testament. And now God's continuing to share who it is. He is found inside the Scriptures. Second thought is Luke chapter 1, verse 30 to 33. Okay, thank you. So God gave him the name what there in Luke chapter 1? Jesus. And yet there's some who say, well, we're not using the name Jesus. That's not. Well, the Bible tells us it is. The Bible tells us God chose that name specifically as well as a message to the world when they say it, that the Lord is salvation. That's what Jesus means. Does he have other names? Yes, he does. But on this earth, he was known as Jesus, and is it completely appropriate to call him that? John 5, verse 24, talks about his everlasting life and salvation that we receive from him.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hath my word and believe on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death.
Okay, thank you very much. Over and over again, as you look in the Scriptures, especially the Gospels and other parts too, but Jesus talking specifically about believing in him, putting faith in him, you have salvation in him. Nowhere does it say you have to be baptized too. Does not say that for salvation. And yet when you talk to people who maybe had some religious background, but not truly put their faith in the Lord, what's the one thing they seem to bring up when you talk about heaven? Well, I was baptized. Yeah, I was baptized. Boy, that false teaching. Now, baptism is a part of the Christian life, but it doesn't give you the Christian life. And you can be a Christian without being baptized, although the Bible does not give you permission to do that. It simply says, yeah, by faith are you saved in Christ. But baptism is an obvious step of obedience to the Lord, sharing with others. But it's by faith in him. Jesus gives everlasting life and salvation from sin. God's certainly clear on that in the Bible. Then John chapter 1 and verse number 12. Okay, thank you very much. Jesus is received by how? Let's take a look in Romans chapter 10. And the Word of God is very clear. To me, the clearest on the practical way to call on Christ, to receive Christ as Savior. Romans chapter 10. Take a look. Verse number 8 is where we're going to look at. Verse 8 to 13. And I'll read for us those verses. Romans 10. Starting in verse number 8, here's what the Bible says. Oh, that's Romans 8, so don't read that. All right, chapter 10, here we go. But what saith that? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus is received by the call of, here's the blank, faith. Faith. When you're trying to share with someone how to call on Christ, how to receive him, here it is. I don't know anywhere else in Scripture that makes it as clear as that. Sometimes we try to muddle it. Sometimes we try to add to it when we should just simply say, here's what the Bible tells us. There is different thoughts on out there that, well, somehow if we just keep kids in church and we keep doing this around them, it's kind of like osmosis. They'll catch salvation. You know, they'll see it and they'll just eventually they'll grow into it. That's not the way you get saved. Amen. That's right. That's why Jesus didn't call it growing into salvation. He called it being born again, which is a single event. And from that point, we grow. So salvation, it's received by the call of faith, according to John, according to Romans, other passages in Scripture, the gift of God's Son. What a great gift, amen? What a great gift. I don't know what people who don't have Jesus look forward to when they wake up in the morning. What is it they have to look forward to that will not pass away? They don't. But with Jesus, you've got something that'll never pass away. So praise the Lord for that gift. Number three, let's go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, if you're still there, take a look in chapter 6 with me, please. And let's read this verse together. I think we all, most of us maybe know it by heart, but let's read it together, please. Romans 6, verse 23. Let's go ahead and share that together. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The third gift we want to consider tonight as we study, the gift of eternal life. Eternal life. Eternal life is a gift within a gift. Eternal life is a gift within a gift. How many of you have ever gotten a gift where you had a box and you open the box and there's another box, and then after you open there, another box. What are those Russian dolls called? I forget what they're called. Nesting dolls where, you know, they got this big giant one, and then there's another one, and then they just keep going on and on. Well, with this gift, it just keeps giving. It's not an empty box inside. It just is more and more of what we find through Jesus. And we know this verse together. Let's say it together, shall we? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Eternal life is a gift within the gift of Jesus Christ. And we get so much more than that, but this is an important part to remember. Christ's death, second thought here, Christ's death was a sacrifice that collected sin's wages. Romans 6 talks about the wages of sin. The Bible tells us that eternal death is an earned payment. We don't get it just because of looking bad. We don't have the right looks, the right family. No, quite simply, we've earned them. Now we have the sin nature as well. That condemns us from the start. But the Bible tells us that regardless of how we start, we earn the wage of sin as well. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, verse 8.
Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting.
Okay, thank you very much. So Galatians 6 there is giving us the biblical principle of if we sow to sin, we're going to reap what? Corruption. Corruption. Does that work for a Christian too, by the way? If a Christian sins and continues down that road, will corruption begin to happen in their life? Yeah, well, they lose their salvation if they continue sin. According to God's word, no. But guess what he tends to do with Christians who are defiant to him about their sin? He's the best parent there is. So what do good parents do when sin continues? They discipline, they chastise, they spank. Oh, you're not supposed to say that. But if you're a good parent, that's part of it in the proper way and time. But he disciplines his children. Because why? Because he hates us. Because he loves us. Because he knows if you keep going this way, you're going to have corruption take over. In fact, the Bible tells us later on in the book of James, what happens to sin in the end? What does sin do? It leads to death. And he wants us to live for him in this life. So sin, the wages are earned. Eternal death is an earned payment. But eternal life is a free to us gift. Gift, that is the blank. Eternal life is a free to us gift through Jesus. Praise God, we have salvation from sin, but man, even better. I shouldn't say better, I should say in addition to. eternal life. What would be the alternative to eternal life? Yeah, eternal death, and we read about what that's like in the book of Luke. Remember the rich man and Lazarus? And just gives us a glimpse, just a glimpse of a moment in hell. Yet people are going to have to deal with that forever, for eternity. That's why it's so important for us, not just to praise the Lord for what he's done for us, but to get the word out to those that we think and believe need the Lord as Savior. Eternal life, it's a free to us gift. Christ's death was a substitution that paid sins. Let's find out. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Okay, thank you. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5 and 6.
For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time.
Okay, thank you very much. So you figure out the blank yet? Ransom, sin's ransom. Christ's death was a substitution that paid sin's ransom. We should have paid it. We deserve to pay it. We've earned the right to do it. And yet Jesus Christ went to the cross and his shed blood paid for us. Christ, here's the blank. I'm just going to give it to you. Christ's resurrection. That's the final thought. Christ's resurrection is necessary for salvation from sin. Hey, praise the Lord. He lived a sinless life. Amen. Praise the Lord. He went to the cross and he did not commit any sin when he went there and he died in our place. He was the substitute. He was the sacrifice. Praise the Lord. But what if there was a place over in Jerusalem today we could go and visit his body? They found the bones of Jesus. How many times have you read, oh, they think they found the sarcophagus of Jesus over here in the background, in the backyard of so-and-so when they were digging for a drain pipe or something like that. These are some actual things people put out there. No, you're not going to find the bones of Christ because they're not there. Amen. They're in heaven. Let's hear from Scripture about that. Romans chapter 4, verse 23 through 25. Okay, thank you very much. He was raised for our justification, the Bible says. There, Romans chapter 4, the end of it, refers to Abraham's faith and how he believed God's word. We too can believe in Christ and his resurrection for us. Thank you for that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. Let's take a look here. Quite a passage we want to look at here, verse number 12 to verse number 20, but very important stuff. This is the longest chapter in the New Testament. And we want to look at some of it here in verse number 12 to verse number, I'm sorry, I don't think it is actually. I think there's a chapter in the Gospels that has a few more verses. But let's take a look at this. Verse 12 to verse 20. I'll read verse 12. If you would read verse 13, we'll go back and forth. Verse 20. Verse 20 is where we stop. So I'll begin here. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised.
And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins.
Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished.
If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable.
But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. Oh, yep, that's where we stop. Praise the Lord. He is risen from the dead. He is risen from the dead. How do you know Jesus is alive? Let me ask you that. I mentioned one just a minute ago, but somebody might be hiding his body, you know. They might have it in a vault somewhere with Ted Williams in his head or something like that, frozen. Hundreds of people saw him. Okay, what else? Their witness is recorded for us. Okay. He was seen after he resurrected, but he was also seen after he ascended. Who saw him after he ascended? Or I should say heard his voice, I guess. Apostle Paul, which was part of, if you're going to be an apostle, you have to have had a personal call. Is there anybody who sees Jesus today? No. So there are proofs of it, but ultimately it has to be By faith. And yet, there is enough evidence for us where we can say, and Scripture tells us, without a doubt, not only did he resurrect, but because he resurrected, so are going to be we. We will as well. And the point he makes here is, if he hasn't resurrected, then everything that we're teaching and believing in is worthless. He says it's in vain. It's vain, has no good to any of us. But we know that's not true, amen? We've seen evidence in our own life and throughout history how God works through Christ. So that's a great gift. We've got two more we're going to look at. Not next week, but the week following. No, we won't, because John, our son John, will be here to speak in 2 weeks on a Wednesday night. We're excited to hear from him. And then 3 weeks from now, we'll look at the last two, Lord willing, of the five gifts God gives to mankind, specific ones. Let's go pray. Thank him for these wonderful things.